Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Can I say something?
You can say something.
Yeah. Whenever I got in the car today, I really wanted to go home. I couldn't even talk. I was in so much pain. And Peggy and Martha prayed for me on the way here, and I could just feel it just go, and I don't even know pain. It's not swollen in here.
That's amazing.
You know,
awesome.
And I'm so glad I'm here.
We're glad you're here too.
Yeah.
Lord, this happened last week too. We ended worship with a testimony. And we just thank God for the testimony. And Lord, we say that more, that you can do it again, that you're no respecter of persons, and that you can move through each person here, that when we open up our mouths, we'll see you partner with those words, and we'll see your kingdom come in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, there's tons of announcements, so hang in there with me. On Friday, we had a great church activity. We built some birdhouses. Here's a good example of a birdhouse that we built. It's not quite painted yet, but hey, I like to talk more than I like to paint. So I don't know if the birds will care or not, but it was an awesome time. And what was awesome for me is it reminded me of being with like my relatives at Thanksgiving. Every nook and cranny of this building had people just chilling, eating. You know, there was some kids in the offices playing games, and it was just this awesome time of like family. You know, not everybody's into building a birdhouse. Not everybody cares if the birds have houses. Some of us care more than others. But, you know, it was just a great community family time. And so there's a couple of people working on that to be more like every 5 weeks, every month. So be excited. The other side, there was a side effect, a byproduct of that night, and that is that we raised $125 for Keystone Opportunity Center. You know, so we are not an insignificant congregation. We are starting to make a difference in the community. Also, if you look over at the counter, for those of you listening online, sometime there will be a picture on our social media that we have collected quite a few items also for the Keystone Opportunity Center. So we are making a difference in the community, and there will be more. Can't wait to tell you about it. Stuff's all lined up. You want to say something?
Yeah, for this month coming up, we're going to be doing for the Keystone Opportunity Center again.
Okay.
Breakfast items.
Oh.
Sugar, flour, coffee, and we'll be gathering those together so that we can take them.
We're also starting a preaching series on not stealing. Because coffee, sugar, flour, and breakfast items are amazing. So if you have those items, please bring them in to share. We'll remind you of that in the weeks to come. Breakfast items, coffee, sugar, flour, and cinnamon.
Maple syrup.
Somebody tap their maple trees. It'll be great. So if you haven't tried it yet, we have a Tuesday night online Bible study. It's a Zoom group. There's blue papers over by the song lyrics / bulletins. The blue papers, which are going to be modeled right now, there they are. They're blue. You guys will see a lot of that paper. We have a ton of that paper. So if any of you want to like make a room in your house blue, we could work something out. So if you want more information about that, you can email Bob, B-O-B, at dwell@thewell.com. So the 21st of this month, 2 weeks from now, not this week, don't count this one, there'll be another week, then the following week we're going to have a meal after the service, there'll be details on that. Want to just remind everybody that we have the offering baskets in the back. If you want to partner with what God's doing here, if you want to sow into it, we're going to continue to make checks out to Rock. We're still working on our doing business with at the state level, doing business as the Well Church at the state level. There's a lot of delay in that process right now, just with not everybody having to go to work and look at our paperwork and approve it. So, you know, we're working through that. So it's just probably sitting in a bin somewhere.
It's actually approved. We just haven't got our certificate yet.
So. Great. We're waiting. Blaming the post office for that as well. So.
You need to talk to them.
Oh, boy. I have very little pull. So, actually, when I open up my mouth, miracles break out, so maybe I can fix it. So,
I was going to say, he's in you, so.
I think we should pray again. So, Father, we thank you for what you want to do this morning. Give us ears to hear what you're saying to us through the Word. We want to be people that look in the mirror and apply the Word of God to ourselves and use it to change and shape who we are and shape our future. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a little joke to start with, or just a fun thing. Please do not buy me this T-shirt. I will not wear it. But I saw a T-shirt this week it said Pastor, and then it had a warning label, and the warning was anything you say or do could be used in a sermon. And I feel like you guys know when I talk, my parents probably should have had that from day one. My siblings, you know, my spouse, and my kids, my poor kids. I have lots of stories about my kids. So today we're going to be in Matthew 5, Isaiah 60, and John 15. If you're only going to turn to one spot, turn to John 15. You know, this all stems out of the season that we're in. It's not a reactionary teaching, but it's important to look at what's going on in the earth and find where the Lord wants to do with us in that season. So, you know, we have been talking about for the past few weeks about our future as a church. This is a great season of us redefining who we are, coming out of the past season, being super cautious to not cut the root, because there's things in the ground, there's people's lives poured out into this place, There's people that sowed money into this place for years and years and years. And when I say this place, I mean us as a church. And now we're transitioning into a new season with a new name and a new focus. And we want to be careful to keep those roots, because there's fruit that will come from those roots. And I feel like even the space and some of the things happening now, the seeds that people put in the ground, maybe people that have moved on to other churches, or maybe they've moved on to heaven with Jesus, that seed is still bearing fruit for us, so we're careful with that. And so when we talk about our future as the church, people often ask me what my plan is. And I sort of have this plan, and this plan is to follow Jesus, who leads the church, you know, the best that I can. And that's why sometimes we can't just throw out the, like, here's our 10 steps to church growth. You can find them online, but we don't have those. We want to have people encounter Jesus to actually see their lives changed. And so, but there is this season in the earth, and it seems like a dark season. When you look around at what's happening, the way people are treating each other, there's this season, and it's a question that we can ask is, God, what are you doing in this season? What's your plan? And so, you know, I've been asking the Lord, what's your plan for the nation? What's your plan for my church, for my family, and for me? And I want to read this to you out of Isaiah 60. I'm just going to read three verses, and it's this. It says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come," that's the people who don't know Jesus, "shall come to your light, and the kings," that's the rulers, that's the government, "will come to the brightness of your rising." So when we talk about, Lord, what are you doing in this season? God's plan, and it's God's plan that has never changed. God's plan is to move so amazingly in his people that they become a shining light of his glory, and that the people around them see that and are drawn to that and realize. I was thinking about this week. There's a man that I listened to. His name is Andrew Womack. Great biblical teaching if you want to dive deep. And when his mother was passing away, his mother called him into a room and said, "Hey, Andrew, tell me about the ministry." So he said, "Hey, we've got offices all over the world. We broadcast, and millions of people listen to our broadcast, both on television and on radio." And his mom smiled at him and said, "Andrew, you know this is God, because you're not smart enough to do this." Only a mother can say that, right?
Right.
His mother's last words. And he's like, "I know, Mom, I know." So, but that's how it is. It's like we're looking at our lives, and it's not because we're so talented, so smart, so amazing that we can make this brightness shine. Our brightness actually fades. Our brightness will let people down. We need them to be attracted to God's brightness in us. And so this is God's plan, and God's plan hasn't changed. You're going to see favor. You're going to see doors open for you the more you engage with the Lord. And what we need to do, and we touched on this last week in worship, and this isn't in my notes, but we need to shed the false idea that we can't have that because we're not worthy. The truth is, we're not worthy. Jesus made us worthy. We can walk in the glory based on what he did, not on what we did. So Matthew chapter 5, it's pretty much the same concept that we've been talking about with Isaiah 60. I'm just going to read verses 14 through 16. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." In the same way, let your light shine before others. Now, we're often very private about our light. But letting our light shine before others means that it's public. And I feel like a lot of people would go into this default defense that says, "Hey, I'm a very private person. This is personal. It's between me and God," you know, and they want others to respect their privacy. And I would say that might be a true statement for some people, but for the rest of us, I've seen our social media. We're not very private people. We're not. We want other people to understand what's going on in our life. Maybe we should be more private with some things, you know. I don't know. Did I tell you guys about the pastor's joke of the day?
No.
and the pastoral privilege. I've not talked about that. So when I was a youth pastor, we used to have this thing where the pastor, he would always tell these super corny jokes, and we just called it the pastoral privilege.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like you guys should get used to that, because here comes a corny joke. So I don't know if you guys heard, but YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter are becoming one company. Yeah, it's called YouTwitface. So I've told two corny jokes. We're going to cap at three, okay? Just give me this if it's driving you nuts. All right. So anyway, we were talking about us being the light of the world. And we are different, and it should be noticeable. So in John 15, we're going to read John 15 in a second. Turn there if you want to read along. Now, in the quarantine school, I learned something amazing, that there is a very common communication tool. This communication tool, I've used it before. We call it a sandwich, where you say something, you say some other stuff, and you say the same thing again. Communication tool. Well, now they're teaching these kids, it's called an Oreo. Oreo. You give your opinion, your reason, an explanation, and then give your opinion again. So I had to do this with my son. We wrote a great paragraph. See, should have read the sermon warning label when Dad was helping you with your schoolwork. We wrote a great paragraph about why Minecraft is the best video game. And it was your opinion, your reason, an example, and your opinion. And then I was reading this portion of scripture, what we were going to talk about today, and I was like, whoa, Jesus invented the Oreo. Except when it's Jesus, it's not an opinion, it's a fact. But he gives a fact, then a reason, then an example, then a fact. So, I don't know, it's a fret when Jesus does it. I mean, a fref. Fref. All right. Anyway, so verse 12.
That was corny.
So that was three? That's three? That wasn't in my notes. That was just right off the top of my head. A fref. All right. So Jesus said, verse 12. This is all you guys are going to remember, right? The Oreo. Does anybody have any Oreos? All right. Should have sent an email. So, John 15, verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down his life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything you have learned from my Father, for everything I have learned from my Father, excuse me, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. So twice in just a few verses, Jesus says, this is my command: love each other as I have loved you. Verse 12. Verse 17. This is my command: love each other. And so I just want to point out right now that the love is actually a command, not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. It's a command. A command is not open to interpretation. Jesus isn't asking for feedback about his good idea. We don't get to decide if we love or we don't love. There isn't another option for his followers when he says, my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Same thing in verse 17. This is my command: love each other. Love each other. There's actually four distinct groups of people that we're commanded to love. First one, well, it's not a group of people. Four distinct groups that we're commanded to love. First one, love God. The second one is love one another. The third one is love our neighbors. And the fourth one is love our enemies. I'm going to read that again. Love God, number one. Number two, love one another. Number three, love our neighbors. And number four, love our enemy. Now, you guys that have grown up in churches and have been in church a long time, we all know that there's actually three Greek words translated into the word love. Okay, so I'm going to go through it real quick. Eros is sensual desire. It actually does not appear in the New Testament. Okay? Phileo, which is friendship or the love of one's friends or relatives. And then the third kind, agape, the highest form of love, God's love, the purest, deepest kind of love, expressed not through mere emotions, but through an act of one's will. So all of the verses we've been reading are agape, love as a choice. So when it's our command, he commands us to love one another, I command you to choose my kind of love, not mine, but God's kind of love, the highest form of love, not based on how you feel through your emotions, but as an act of your will. Agape, God's kind of love, requires faithfulness, commitment, and sacrifice without expecting anything in return. The command to agape we just read, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And again, a few verses later, this is my command, love each other. So to do this is impossible without God. All right, so this is a pretty awesome space, but it's small, and that's okay. I'll just say it. It's small, smaller than we're used to. Good for what we have in this season. You know, when we moved to this space, we got a bag of keys. It was a bag. Then when we looked around, we found a box of keys. Then there was the Sunday we locked the office door and didn't have any key that would open the office door. So anyway, so, you know, we discovered that. And as we settled in, we decided as a leadership team, different dialogue, that we weren't going to lock all the doors. If you need to go in the closet, go in the closet. If you need to go here or there, feel free. We're a real family environment. But we felt like there was a couple doors we should lock, one of those being the external doors. And then we went ahead and locked what we call the administrative office door. And, you know, that really only has to do with that there's a giving record in there, a giving record that I don't actually look at, just so you know. All I need to know is if we have enough to pay the bills and, you know, we're planning the future and doing that. But I don't know who gives what. So we felt like, yeah, let's lock that up because that's nobody's business. And so those are the doors that are locked, the office door. Also because I put a guitar in there. I don't mind if you play my guitar. I just can't come here Sunday morning and have it only have 5 strings, which happened in past seasons of us as a church. So anyway, we locked that up too. So, you know, it started kind of small. You know, we're just going to lock external doors and that office door. And you know, this isn't a serious dilemma, but it was important to me. And since we already started down this rabbit trail, I'm going to talk to you about this passion I have to not have a lot of keys on my key ring. All right, I just don't want that. I'm going to show you guys my wallet. Here, this is my wallet. This is everything I need. There's a guitar pick fell out of it. You know, this is what I want in my pocket. I don't want a million keys. So we got to the point where I had my house key, my car key, and bunches of keys for this building. And so you guys, I want you to know every time I run into a situation or a problem where it doesn't seem like there's a solution, I put it before the Lord and I ask for a creative solution. And that's what we should do in our life. Like, it doesn't seem like we can do this, but we feel like we should. And you know, keys might not be important to you. It was important to me, and I'm important to God, so he made it important to him. So here's what happened. Somebody donated a digital lock for the front door. Okay, so that was donated.
No key.
No key needed for me. Okay, now, that was awesome. And then the second thing that happened was we were locked out of the office. And the landlord so graciously offered to pay for the locksmith for that because we didn't have a key. So when they came, I said, hey, can you rekey that lock to be the same as the exterior door right next to it? So now I have one key.
All right.
So I got one key and I can open every door I need here. And so the reason I told you all that is because I feel like what we're about to read is the key. The key that unlocks all the doors as you walk with the Lord. So this is the one key. Yeah, we're still in John 15. And when we're talking about agape love, we can't do it without God. Hard enough to love friends and family. And we can see maybe on a good day, we can love our neighbors. But when it comes to our enemies, it's hard. And so we're still in John 15. I'm going to start at verse 1. And it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Verse 4, remain in me. One. I'm just counting the words remain. One. And I also remain in you. Two. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Three. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Four. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, five, and I in you, I'm going to call it six because it's the same concept, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me, seven, you are actually like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, seven, eight. If you remain in me, eight, and my words remain in you, nine, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so we'll just stop there for a second. Now, there's a lot in that passage. There's a lot of big concepts in that passage. You know, and I've read that before, and I got caught up in the, I don't want to be cut off and thrown in the fire. And I put the focus on that. And I missed the nine repeated phrase of remain. And so when we talk about how do we love with God's kind of love, an act of our will compared with a supernatural love for others, the key is to remain. So when I was about 16, I went to India for 3 months, and we did some mission work, and I saw the Taj Mahal, and it was neat. And one of the things from that trip, I'm not giving you any kind of awesome testimony about the trip. I'm telling you something that happened. So this was 95 or 96. We went there, and technology was different then. We didn't have phones in our hands. Wasn't there. That was something you saw on Star Trek. And so you'd have to go down to the corner to this booth. It was yellow with red letters, and there was a phone. And you'd be on the street. You would give the man a giant pile of money because it was like a bazillion to a dollar. And he would have this giant pile of money, and you would pick up this yellow phone, and you could call home. But it really had to be like at a set time. You know, you couldn't, the time difference is different, and my parents love me, but they don't want to get up at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning and talk to me. You know, so I'd have to go down there in the evening and catch them in the morning or the other way around. And just for your entertainment value, I know I used all my jokes, but this actual service was called STD. So, I mean, it's English. It probably stood for, like, service something of
telephones.
Yeah, service telephone for money, who knows. But anyway, so now you have something else that will be the only thing you remember. So, you know, we had to have that time of set time to communicate. Now, when it comes to our relationship with God, I think we should have a set time, a time we set aside to read the Bible or worship or pray. You know, we should have that. But when we talk about remaining, that's not remaining. That's clocking in and clocking out. We've seen people do that when they come to church. I'm just here for now. When I'm done, I'm done. Maybe I'll see you next time. Maybe. And so we want to have a set time we spend with the Lord. And then I also took this trip to China when this is probably a better analogy. When Kathy and I were dating, we weren't quite yet engaged. I did want to get engaged before I left, but the guy FedExed the ring, and the ring didn't get here. Now, you bought your ring through FedEx? No, I drove to a diamond importer who was a relative of my wife's sister. I got to look under the microscope and pick out the diamonds. And then they had it set, and then they FedExed it to me. And that FedEx package arrived the day my flight had already left. So we didn't get to get engaged. And so what I had at that time, this was the era of cell phones. My cell phone would not work in China. It was it wasn't probably even made there. It was a Sprint flip phone. It was about this big, 1997. I only had this phone because I worked for my uncle's medical supply company, and because I was a nephew, I turned into the, hey, there's always an emergency for you to handle because I know that I can trust you. So I gave this phone to Kathy. Thankfully, my uncle has forgiven me because So I would, from China, call her on that phone, and I don't know if you guys remember when they billed you for everything both ways. So I had to work that off a little bit, but, you know, he was happy that I was willing to pay it, and you know, I didn't get fired or anything. But it's the same concept, though. We had to have, like, a set time. You know, we were engaged. We weren't engaged yet, but we were in this relationship. We knew where it was going. And so the two ways I could talk to her were on that, calling that phone number. I don't know why I just didn't call her parents' house, but whatever. And email. And so I would go into this internet cafe in Tibet. And right away, this is not important to my sermon, but I want you guys to know my pain. They only had one English song, and it was that one that's like, oceans apart, day after day. And so I would be like, yeah. So anyway, this is not what this story is about, all right? But you guys see, the way technology has evolved, we've gone from set ways to communicate to constant streams of communication. If you look at my phone, there is a constant text stream with my wife. I call whenever I want. You know, the other day, I needed new windshield wipers, and I don't know why I got caught up on this, but I looked it up and I said, that can't be right. Then I measured the ones on the car and they were different than the ones the book said. So I shot my dad a text. You know, it's just this constant communication. And then which he responded with, it doesn't matter, do whatever you want, because it's true, both ways would have worked. So anyway, but this is what we're looking at. We want to have God as a constant communication where there's like, and you know, there's always that joke movie where you can text God and he answers, but it's like, that constant stream of communication that you have with other people now because technology has evolved is what remaining in him looks like. Sure, you have your set aside time, you and God, you, your Bible, a worship CD, and God, however that looks for you, you know, and that might be in the car on the way to work, that might be early in the morning, late at night, you know, but if you don't plan it the day before, it doesn't ever happen. Just throwing that little nugget out there for you. So, also, as you know, we talk about remaining. I just want to share a couple of things with me and Kat. It's like we have like codes that help us communicate. Like I literally push a couple buttons on my watch, send her the word toy, and that means I'm thinking of you. Aww. You know, we also have this word. I'll send it to you later, buddy. So now I can send it to everybody, right? Yeah. I have to send poi, praying for you, or whatever, we'll work it out. So anyway, we also use this word shmili, see how much I love you, and we kind of hide that around the house. You know what I mean? We just like, you know, in the box, bottom of the box of tissues, and you just wait, or it is annoying when you're putting your shoe on and something crunches, but when you pull it out, you feel love. So anyway, talking about remaining and building that relationship with God. So I'm going to go ahead and start to wind up. But this week, I'd love to challenge us to work on three things. So the first one is kind of what we talked about. Accept that you're part of God's creative solution for the problems around you. And trust and partner with him to see change on the earth. You know, and we talked about asking the Lord for creative solutions and finding them. You know, and then the second thing was be intentional to remain in his love this week. You know, it says he never leaves us or forsakes us, so just talk to him. He's there. And keep that constant communication going. So the first one, accept that you're part of God's creative solution and partner with him. The second one, be intentional to remain in his love. Now, the third thing we hadn't talked about yet, I'm introducing just a little concept. You guys know that song that we sing, that's It's My Joy, It's My Joy, It's My Joy. Nobody sang that as much as me. I've sang that a lot. And the first words of that song are Psalm 68:6. If anyone wants to look it up, it's Psalm 68:6. And it says, God sets the lonely in families. And we sing that. We sing, you set the lonely in families. And we love that concept when it applies to us. We do. I was lonely. I got all these God people now that are commanded to love me. This is great, you know? Well, I'm not going to abuse that, but you get what I mean. Like, if we're commanded to love each other, then you're now safe. And if you're making that constant choice, despite how you feel, to love, then we're safe. You know, I talked to a young guy at work this week who's been dating a girl for 9 years and decided it's finally time to take that next big step of moving in together before they get married. And so I'd love to put him in a headlock and give him a noogie until he did the right thing. But I just was like, hey, you know, if you close that door where you can't leave and she can't leave, then you have to work everything out that would happen when you live together. So if you get married, and he's like, oh, I hadn't thought about it like that. But that's kind of when we talk about that, richer or poorer in sickness and in health, when we talk about that stuff, it's so important. And he was quoting that to me, so he's getting it. We'll be praying that he wants to make good decisions. And so, I mean, I figure if you dated her for 9 years, where else are you going to go, bro? So anyway, but when we talk about God setting the lonely in families, in this family that he's commanded to love one another, to walk through hard things together, to journey together, we love it applying to us. But you know what? It applies to other people too. And right now on the earth is a season of loneliness. People are isolated. You know, one of the things that came up with the Birdhouse event when we posted it on social media, you know what? Nobody was wearing a mask at all. And I'm fine with that. You know, but there's people that haven't left their house. There's people who are afraid to go out. And I felt like this week that we want to be a people that seeks out some of those people. You know, so whoever the Lord would lay on your heart that's lonely, you know, you're that point of contact with God's love and invite them to God's family. You know, but you start with that point of contact with loving, maybe challenging them to get married. After 9 years of dating, it seems easy to us, right? So this week, look for creative solutions with Jesus. You are the creative solution. Remain in him and invite the lonely to his family. I'm going to pray. So Father, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we ask for divine appointments. We ask that you would speak to us. We thank you, Lord, that you'll teach us how to remain with you, that you seek us out as well. And Lord, we bless you. And we want to worship you with all we are. We want to be a sacrifice, our life before you. Teach us how to choose how to love each other with your kind of love. Help us learn to love our neighbors and our enemies that way as well. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, have a great week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking away.